And thank you for sharing the gift with us. You're singing. All the people in here have giftings. If there's anybody else hiding a gift, we're going to find out about it. But I so appreciate when people within the church will be willing to come up and use the gifting that God's given them. It blesses us and those watching too. So look at somebody and say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And then tell them, I'm glad I'm here today. Especially for what I'm going to hear. Thank you. Heavenly Father, you're a good Father. We come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we come together as the body of Christ, as you told us to do so in Scripture. Even as we see the days approach, we're to come together even more. So Lord, I thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ, those watching, those here today, those in other churches, those around the world. We're the family of God. And Lord, you're preparing to take us all home to be with you. We can see the events happening. We're asking you through your Holy Spirit that you continue to move in each heart, sanctifying us, preparing us for that homecoming time. And we just thank you, Lord, for all the things you've done in our life, will be doing in our life. And today, Lord, I ask that your anointing be upon the congregation. Open their spiritual ears and eyes. Lord, word, an anointed word given through the Holy Spirit. And we thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted,
amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, it's not all bad. I want to encourage you with that. It's not all bad. God's doing a lot of great things in the earth today. We don't always need to look for the bad things because they're obvious. But it's what we need to do is shout the good things that God is doing in man. Amen. Without spot or wrinkle, and that's the work he's doing in the world today. And so we're just watching and listening. And again, you should have fingerprints on your eastern, look in the eastern sky. He's coming back.
Amen.
Isn't that a great hope?
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah. You know, it's sad to be hopeless. And we've got good news. Young and old, we've got good news. If you love Jesus, you got some good news.
Amen.
And you can go tell somebody. It's never, ever totally black because God is alive. He's on the throne and he's already in our tomorrows. Something you may or may not want me to say, but tell us smooth things. Tell us smooth things. That's the title. You ready for smooth things? Now your smooth might be different than mine. Keep word in the generation we're living right now. We're in dangerous times within this world, within the church. That I heard a newscaster just, this country right now, we can see demonism everywhere. On the news, what's happening in people's lives and the way they're living today. And so when you come to church, how many again know that God's a good God?
Amen.
How many God is your joy?
Yes.
How many know that God can fix anything within your life?
Yes.
How many know that God loves you?
Yes.
Huh? Do you know that?
Yes.
So that's been preached for a lot of years. God loves people. And the other part, He wants to continually remind us that we are living in a fallen world and we are going hastily toward the end time. So taking into thought of what happened in politics this past week and how those elected to power told the people, we're going to give you all the free stuff. No penalty for lawbreakers. Resist ICE from arresting illegals. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Nothing's free in this world. The only thing that's free in this world is salvation. The penalty's already been paid for on the cross. That's the only thing you can pay for. Jesus did for us, but These politicians that are promising all these wonderful, great things, they're lying to us. Somebody's got to pay for it. And these people who support these people who are led astray, living under lies, don't realize that eventually it'll catch up with them too. They'll be the ones hurting right along with everybody else. And people voted for a socialist, a communist within America, and even politicians that said children. People overwhelmingly voted for that to put that man back in office. Can you believe that? The world that was got to be active. I like the song where it tells us, shout Jesus in the streets. That's the positive thing that's happening in the church world if we're obeying the word of God. You know something? The people like hearing smooth things. I like hearing smooth things too at times. If I'm going down the wrong path, I want to know about it. I don't want to be destroyed. I don't want my family destroyed. I don't want anyone destroyed. And I got to be told the truth. Talk about the type of God we serve, and He's a wonderful God. He's not a hating God, an evil God. He's a loving God. He sent His Son to die for us. And times, and the church needs to take heed of that. We wish we didn't, but we need to be taken heed of it. And 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, this know also the time. And people, we're there. We're there. Can you believe the things that are being said? Even one party even talking about killing other. Can you believe that's actually happening in the world, in the United States of America? But not just here, it's happening around the world too when you listen to world leaders, what's happening in their country. This perilous times, and Jesus wants the church to get on fire. You and I. That's you and I. There are people today that will not come back, preaches on subjects that aren't very pleasant sometime to the ear. But what they want to hear is the preacher that tickles their ears. Three alone that are jammed because of smooth things, pleasant things. That's what people are going to. They want to hear it. Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Isn't that from the faith? There's many who have done it sitting in churches where they hear smooth things. But the world has taken a toll upon them too. They're seeing being told smooth things, and pretty soon their faith is dissipating away and they don't even realize it. Giving heed to seducing spirits, trying to, and the doctrines of devils being preached today, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared there. You look it up and it renders to be insensitive. 2 Timothy 3:13, seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Notice it says, preach the word, not just preach. We got to preach. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, and endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. And there's many people who have left the churches around this declining church in spite of what declined in population, because people have been walking away from their faith. And they say, I can do whatever at home. And when there's people, because they don't have access to Bible preaching churches in their smaller, especially rural communities. But I tell you what, that's a dangerous thing to do. They're looking for teachers or gadabout from church to church to find those who will not insist on getting rid of the sin and the sinful pleasures. And they hear, rather than face up, I need to hear this stuff, because as Amy mentioned that I told her the other day, we are leaking vessels. We need to keep reading and doing what God tells us to do in order to keep our lives filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we don't, we start to lose. We're prone to wander away. The word of God has got to be preached in its entirety right now, whether we like what we hear or not. And it isn't the preacher, whether he's charismatic, it's put out there so that you and I can be encouraged and challenged to live the way we're supposed to live in this society. Amen. If there's very much said about blood or the chastening hand of God, it causes some folks much anxiety. They don't like it. One preacher said it even from me. He said, people don't. I tell you what, without that, they got a lot more problems. And they need to be told. You all look so wonderful today. We're all going to make it. No, we got to be honest. Some aren't going to make it. Doing or not doing, should do. And we got to be told the truth in order to be aware that, hey, I'm not going to make it. I need to be told from the truth and shall be turned onto fables. That's what they want. They want foolish or improbable stories, stories that are unlikely, never even took place, stories even told. Pastor will open up a Bible and tell a story that's in the Bible and change it to fit the agenda here. One preacher said that Jesus said if we follow him when he was telling the disciples when they're getting into the boat, it's going to be wonderful. I heard him say that. That isn't what the Bible says. Not at all. Jesus, many are the trials and tribulation of the righteous. Amen. But my God shall deliver us from them all. But Jesus did not promise anybody that life would just be old soul. And it is wonderful that he now comes into our life through the Holy Spirit and guides us on that narrow path throughout life. And that's the wonderful part about Jesus. But home. And he said, there's going to be those that are going to hate you and persecute you and kill you. He didn't say it's all going to be when we follow him. And brothers and sisters, we're heading and marching that direction more and more every day. World, and they're working on New York right now. They think they got a foothold into this country. And their goal is coming after Christians who say that Allah is God, no other God. And no other religion, only Islam. It's going to increase, and we, the church, have got to be told the truth in order to prepare in our minds to know how to handle what's coming in the world. Otherwise, we will lock rather than be joyful, realizing that that's a sign of our coming of our Lord. He's coming to deliver us. There's more in the Bible to preach than smooth things, and I believe this word is for today. I really do. In this text, God offered deliverance to Judah if they... And that text is in, listen to me, in Isaiah chapter 30. You brought your Bibles. It's in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 through 15 as I read it. And noted in a book that it may be for this time to come forever and ever. How long?
Forever and ever.
How long is forever and ever?
Forever.
A record of. Forever. That means it's still here for today. Here also, that rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. See, this is God told Isaiah to write a permanent sins of today too. Going on, verse 10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets. Prophets, smooth things. That word smooth things there, by the way, means flatteries. Prophesize deceit. That's what they're asking for. Okay? Turn aside out of the path, because the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They did not want God before them. They didn't want the Holy One there. And you think, well, that can't be. That is turning into America. We don't want God, a stranger, if he walked in. Verse 12, wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression, meaning fraud and distortion and perverseness in those. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly, wall breaking upon them instantly. That's what it's saying there. That's when destruction is going to come, when you least expect it. He shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of a sherd, meaning fragment, to take fire from the hearth or to take water withal out of the pit. That means the destruction will be so great, even the pieces from the pottery and those that haul the thing. That's how severe destruction is coming. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, listen to him now, in returning, evidence shall be your strength, and you wouldn't do it. You would not. They would not, and God was pleading with them as he pleads with the church. He's pleading that today. Many remnant churches are preaching that from their pulpits, but there's many apostate churches today. We want what we got because we like it. This is for today. God wanted them to return to him. That God of ours loves to him, even in our rebellion. He's wooing us. He loves us. He wants us back. He's not looking to destroy anyone. We destroy ourselves. Trusting in their oppression, which is evil, and perverseness, their iniquity will fall, breaking suddenly upon them. They created it. Isaiah was part of God's divine mission in the world at that time to announce the glad tidings of a God who loved, giving him the truth, the good part of the scripture. But the people did not want to hear. They did not want to understand it. It became a reproach to the irreligious. There's people who don't want to hear the truth. They say to Isaiah and other prophets, see not, prophesy not unto us right things. I looked up one commentator noted it is happening in many of the pulpits of our modern churches today. He says, get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path, the narrow path. Get away from it. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from. If I would you even want to be here? Why would you even want to be here if we didn't have Jesus here today and our Holy Spirit? Why would you sit there and don't even realize God left them? The Holy One, whose very holiness became a reproach to the truth. They wanted to hear, again, much of the same today. Today there's even comments, we don't want the truth. We want to hear. It is. People who are deceived want to be deceived. They want to be deceived. They chose it. What you hear from pulpits, even this one, if you disagree with me, that's okay. Research it in the Word of God and come up and make sure it's what God is saying. As accurate as I can be about it in the best way I can do it. But we're in troublous time, perilous times. Even if the warning of the prophets didn't want to hear about it. That's why people sometimes will get up out of their seat and walk out of a church where the truth is being preached. They don't want to hear when we play with sin. And we practice sin. The first point that Isaiah is making in the scripture, a rebellious people. Isn't that incredible? We're no different than those people back then. Our generation, we want to believe a lie in the world we're living in today. And that's why we're seeing the world today wants to... They want what they want, whether it's good or bad or whatever, no matter how it comes. Chapter 2, 10, 11. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. This is the New Testament now. The truth that they might be saved. It's happening. God's pretty smart, even during that time, Paul's time. But it's happening today. Men and demons can produce in order to deceive men and women who reject the truth. That's why we have witchcraft in church today, whether you believe that or not. But we're not frightened by that because greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. Again, verse 11 in that scripture, and verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. To believe a lie and to live a rebellious life, contrary to the word of God. God's will be that no one perishes. That's his will. Not even the rebellious ones that are rebelling. He does not want them to rebel. That's why he's warning everyone within Scripture to be aware. How are you living your life in rebellion? God gives them up and over to their own ways, which will damn their souls for all eternity. Because they chose it. Isaiah's message in his nation at that time was that their continued rebelling against God would also be the ruin of their nation. And what is destroying America right now?
Sin.
Sin. It's destroying this nation. If any of us are walking in sin, habitual sin, it will bring judgment upon our life. Isaiah from their sin and turned back to God, but they didn't want to hear it. It was unpleasant talk, and we don't want to hear that. And that's the way it is today, even within churches, even that week. Well, it'll get worse if you don't hear the word of God. The truth. 2 Chronicles, which we all know, and I'm going to read it because it's vital. Put it in there for a purpose. He said, if my people, say that with me, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. We do. I'd rather humble myself than allow God to do it. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's when revival comes. That's when revival comes. I don't know what's happening in around the world right now because of the Charlie Kirk thing. There's good things there, but I wouldn't call that revival. I'm not hearing anything spoken. We can all get excited, but is that going to change our world? They didn't want to hear about God's judgment. They didn't want to hear about God's love and blessings. They wanted Isaiah to build up their self-esteem. They wanted him to discuss pleasantries and recite poems and tiptoe through the tulips. And it's right up to our day and age where we're living today. And even though Isaiah was telling them, it's hard to understand why people prefer destruction over hearing and believing the truth. Yeah, I still blows me away why the people today in our country right now, all drug abusers, people killing one another, and they will defend them above the citizens of America. And this was the cause in the New Testament as well, Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie or idols more than the Creator who is blessed forever. In the 6th chapter of Luke, we read about Jesus ministering to people and healing them while the religious leaders when he was wanting to heal. When Jesus healed a man's deformed hand on the Sabbath, if you remember that story in Luke 6, and began to talk about themselves and how they could kill Jesus. Can you believe that? Jesus was there to do good things, good work. Pilate asked the people, what was the crime that he committed in Matthew chapter 27, verses 23 and 26? Christ, they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult, meaning an uproar, was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, see you to it. This answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Well, guess what? As the Romans destroyed the city and the temple, payday, as I said many times, doesn't always come on Friday. With things, because nothing's happened to us. And that's why people are emboldened today. Nothing's happening to them. All the lawbreakers and the politics going on right now, they're all priced for it. They're still making money and still doing their evil works out there. People, even within churches, living in sin, thinking, hey, nothing's happened to me, but I just come on Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
70 years went by, and these people finally were judged for the very thing they said. And their nation was within a home and within a city. Why would people prefer disaster to truth? Because this is the essence of rebellion, even if it kills me. And it does. It appears we would rather live a lie than face reality. After all, illusions makes us uneasy, doesn't it? Even when we confront loved ones within a home, if you tell your loved one a truth or something, they get uneasy. The rebellious want to believe a lie and they avoid the truth. They go out and live carnal, worldly lives, knowing to be a life. I heard a young woman say the other day that she sensed the power of the Holy Spirit up on her when she kissed another woman, gay Christian. And she said, "Don't you say anything against it because it's in the Bible. I love Jesus." Told me how easy it is to believe a lie and be deceived, even with the Word of God. One man spoke up and said, "What Bible are you reading?" And she said, she didn't want to read what God says about it. But that poor young lady has been deceived. Transgender be this a woman if I'm a man or a man if I'm a woman. They're deceived. They're being lied to and they're deceiving themselves. There is no such thing as trans. But these people have bought a lie. And even within the church, homosexuality, evangelical churches today. Because why? Because they believe a lie. One evangelical pastor, well known, you'd all know him if I said his name. He said about homosexuality, believing in it, that it's nothing wrong with it. I heard him say it. God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. But it's happening. They start idolizing a preacher, idolizing a church name, a denomination, movie stars, sports figures, and they get away. Even in the good things that God says, all the great things he does for our life, we also got to constantly be examining our hearts in order that we be not deceived. Going down the right path just because everything's working out. Money's coming in. We got great things. I got friends. They don't realize that the enemy can take his hand away in law of reciprocity. And they don't understand that. Luke chapter 11, 28. But he said, "You can keep it." Happy!
Amen.
People say, I just want to be happy. Then obey the word of God.
Yes.
God said it right. Hear the word of God and are happy. I'm happy because I hear the word of God.
Yes.
Because if I didn't hear the word of God, I wouldn't be standing up here preaching. I'd be sitting there with the word of God says. And even if you folks don't like it or somebody else, I'm still happy because I know what the word of God says.
Yes.
So I hope you're happy with me. People, only six of us? Well, we'll take the six. Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 6:10, "To whom shall I speak and give uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken? Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it." They sitting in pews that have no delight. No delight. It's a reproach. This is written. This is just the Bible. I don't worship it. It's just the words from our Lord and Savior that he put down so I could read them.
Yes.
I mean, I could throw this in this book because it's got words in here that my Heavenly Father is preparing me for eternity. And that's why we need to be about our fathers. "And uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did, so do ye." God's always honest, isn't he?
Yeah.
He holds. But here's Isaiah's second point. Rebellious people want to escape responsibility. The people of Isaiah's day didn't want to follow God, but needed behavior. That's why if it was up to me, I wouldn't allow any cell phones in this church.
Amen.
Because I know they're, and they walk out and they have no sense of whatever. Allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts.
Amen.
The people of Isaiah didn't want to follow God, but neither did they want there to be any consequences. They wanted to rebel, wanted to believe a lie, at the same time they wanted it to be true. They wanted to do all the wrong things and experience all the good things at the same time. I read a story, I looked it up, where in Miami, a jury awarded a record 144 men, a group of smokers in Florida. How many know they smoke in Florida too? It's true that the smokers have almost twice the risk of having 14 times the risk of lung cancer, 10 times the risk for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. But this 144.8 walked into a store and bought a legal product with clearly said on the label warning. The Surgeon General has determined that cigarette smoking is dangerous and bought it. Now, payday doesn't come on Friday when you... Ooh. That's right. But they were warned. They were warned. No one forced and willing to give up good money, knowing that they were jeopardizing their health. They wanted to smoke and be healthy too. And they ought to accept responsibility for their actions like an adult. Amen. Instead of complain and murmur about it and take money for getting their illness. But yet the state of Florida had to give them $144.8 billion to pay for their rebellion. And that can be... The rebellious resented when the consequences of their irresponsible behavior come calling. And some even went to them, "Why doesn't God heal me?" And they blame God. Well, they don't understand that the thing God warned us in there, didn't he? Yeah. He said, sin separates. I do not hear your prayers. I don't hear them. You pray to me, but you're praying amiss because you're praying for the wrong thing. You're not repenting and you're not turning from the things that are destroying you. Capable of it all the way along. And God says, no. These are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Once you become a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit resides within us, how we take care of this body. Amen. That can be anything, food, drugs, smoking, anything. In Judah, they rebelled against the Holy One of Israel. They refused to listen to the prophets and heed their warning. Numbers 37:23 says, be sure that your sin will find you. They trampled God's laws and had the gall to blame God when the enemy trampled their cities. We hear complaining today in America. We see happening Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon. We see what's happening, and some people blame God for it. And we complain and gripe about it. But you know something? It's been outdoing, training our children, teaching them, living the life according to the way of God is, proclaiming the gospel throughout cities. There'll be but they're turned over to destruction because the church is sitting in the entertainment world along with them, instead of being on fire. Instead of the world, one guy called me a born-againer. I said, I'm proud to be a born-againer. They wanted to do as they pleased, but they did not want to accept the responsibility for their actions. The last point, the third point that Isaiah make is that a rebellious people want to avoid. Isaiah said in Isaiah 30:11, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They didn't want anything to do with him anymore. He convicted them. He warned them. This sounds familiar of our rebellious culture, which says we don't want to be confronted with the God of creation, conformed with God's law. We want to take them down from our public walls. Don't say we are wrong for killing our unborn children. Don't tell us that God designs us marriages. Force your morals on us. Do not tell us homosexual and transgenderism is wrong. Turn aside. No longer want to be confronted with God, our values go. When our values go, everything goes. In ancient China, the people wanted security from the invading army. China is 30 feet high, 18 feet thick, more than 1,500 miles long. The Chinese goal, too thick to break down, too long to go around. But during the first 100 years of the wall's existence, China was successfully invaded three. Now, It wasn't the wall's fault. During all the three invasions, the invaders never climbed over the wall. They never broke it down and then marched right through in an open door. What happened to America the last 4 years? Nobody broke our... They opened the gates and said, come on in. And our nation is on the verge of being totally destroyed. 530 million people who were never asked or invited to come in that are killers, not all of them. Killers, murderers, rapists. They're in our country now to destroy. When a nation tries to avoid God, they leave an open door because they have nothing on which to base their values. Nothing. When a nation loses its values, it's not safe. The Bible says in Psalms 33, 12, 18, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. What is that? Blessed? Yes. Happy. Yes. Happy is the nation for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of man. He sees everyone. And he looks from where? Place of his habitation. He looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their work. That means we're all... And he fashioned everyone, as I spoke last Sunday, individually, unique. But we're all created by him. Amen. There is no king saved by the multitudes. No power, you and I. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Saved anyone from death in a battle. They can't do that. God alone is the only one that can protect and save us from death. Amen. It's upon them that
fear him.
There, I got it now. Yeah, fear him. We got to fear God in the way I'm talking about fearing somebody who's got a knife to your throat, but in a loving God who has the power of life and death within his hands for all eternity. It's becoming increasingly difficult to reason with people in the world. Have you noticed that? People in our culture are affected by emotion rather than logic. Feelings. That's what the world is. No longer logic. Everything's upside down. I'll stop there because I know I'm really getting to you. I can tell. In conclusion, I hope the Holy Spirit is speaking. And we got to be reminded of these things, as even if we don't want to. We got to understand we serve a living God, a loving God who is preparing a table before our enemies. Him for all eternity, and to worship him and all the good things in the world, all the greatness, all the joy, all the things happen that he desires. We're going to be looking at him and his warfare, this spiritual warfare.
Amen.
That's constantly at us moment by moment, that he's making a preparation for that great day when we'll sit at that marriage table. God would rather not have to say any of these things. But he knows he has to. Because why? Because he made us free will agents. It's our choice. So what you're willing to believe a lie? What do we do in a culture where the people don't want to accept responsibility for their actions, and they don't? Snap program and people getting on social media says, where's our food? They don't want to take responsibility. They think society owes it to them. Part of the solution is for the people of God to not be ashamed of being part. Too many of us are ashamed or fearful to speak out the truth. If you got someone coming up to you yelling and screaming, hold his lines and talk to him straight back in love. But stand for truth. We have to, people. Be here when Jesus returns. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto the Greek. We must stop being embarrassed that we are Christians, because we have the answer for the world's problems, and we do. It's the dunamis, it's miracle working power. When you and I speak it by faith, it begins to do a supernatural work into the here. But most of the time, you're going to speak the word of God, and it's powerful, and it goes into that heart and that life and begins to do a supernatural work within that being. We withhold it, and we shouldn't, because God's a supernatural working God, and that's how He pulls and desires souls to come to Him. That dumenous power that's within us. The word of God goes forth, and it'll accomplish what it was sent forth to do. It's the power of God, the word that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. God, never ever, although the world may be avoiding the truth, responsibility, and even God, we that are saved have the only that can't even touch them. That's why the devil hates Christianity. And I thank God for President Trump and brothers and sisters in Christ that are being slaughtered by the enemy. I thank God for him. No matter whether you like him or not, the sisters in Christ. Matthew 5:13, almost done here. Ye are the salt of the earth. It is there thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot by men. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. Let's all stand, please. Being salt and light refers to Christians calling positively influent. We can influence. Years ago, we quit influencing the world, our nation, and that's where it's at today. That's why homes have divorces in them within the Christian home. Because of what's happening in the home, because Christians have no longer stood on the word of God. Men don't increase to the home. Shame on us. Women got to learn they submit to the husband if he's a godly husband. That doesn't mean the sense that she is honored, what God says, because the man is the priest. We are accountable to Jesus as an example. Children, but parents quit doing that. They give them iPhones and iPads and gaming things for babysitting. Entertaining so that they don't. He said, tell your children, teach your children the laws of God. We quit doing that years ago, and we're reaping what we're sowing right now. If this church, along with many of our other remnant churches, people will begin to rise up and begin to speak the word of God, we can see the revival. We got to be in prayer. And then we got to look at ourselves, nobody else. I don't look at you. I got to look at me and say, God, what do I need to get? Revival can't start in you if it's not in me. You're revival. You got to be revived in your own heart. You can't bring revival to anybody else. How many are still with me? Just put your hand up. Did you hear what I said today, people? I want to see God. I want to be able to have a victorious church that when we come together, we won't have anybody walking around saying, I need to be healed. I need to be in the presence of God. And we'll be shouting and praising Him. Maybe we won't have to sit up there in our worship team saying, worship Him, praise Him in the week. That's true. I'm not exaggerating. Read the book of Acts. That was the church that was happy because in deliverance, the dead were raised when they come around. But today, didn't the preacher preach a good sermon? Whether you like it or not, can't help it. We need to get back to Jesus. Amen. Every head to so much. He went through all the things Jesus did to the cross. All through his ministry, they tried to kill him. And he said, they hated me, they're going to hate you the same way. You're going to have a struggle on the way to heaven on that narrow path. But stay on it. They say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need to know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I need to be that born-again Christian you mentioned. I hope I get to go to heaven. If you're there, you're in a dangerous spot because you shouldn't hope you get there. The Bible says we know that we're saved. I'm going to ask, just raise your hand up. Because everybody in here has given their life to Christ. We've done the same thing. Raise up your hand and say, Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to be. Is there anybody? The Holy Spirit's working on you. Say, I know there's things in my life. Is there anybody forgiven? Just raise up your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't look at man. Maybe you've been gossiping. Maybe you've been doing things that you shouldn't do. Spirit is reading email. God sees these hands that are going up. You don't need to be embarrassed. This is what we do as Christians. We let the world know that we're forgiven. Just going to ask, just before we dismiss again, just come on up here. We're going to pray together before you leave. Just start coming up. Hallelujah. Tell them smooth things. Heavenly Father, we come to this altar. And Lord, if I have itching ears, help me to put Holy Ghost salve upon them, that you can open them up to receive your whole word. And Lord, if there be something in my life, in the depth of my soul that you don't want to do, or doing things that I shouldn't do, that you would deliver me from them right now and forgive me of them. It was shed on Calvary's cross. Your word tells me that we are washed in the blood from our sins, that we become white as snow, righteous, justified in your presence. As you look through Jesus at us. So Lord, we stand here and ask to proclaim your word when it needs to be proclaimed. Forgive us, God, for keeping our mouths shut when we should things that we shouldn't have been at that are worldly, but we decide we're going to do them anyway. Forgive us for those anything. Lord, we want to see you move in a supernatural way in our home, in our marriages, in our children, within our workplace, within our school. But Lord, I know it starts with me. You're looking at me from heaven, and you're looking at my very being and seeing. And you say, yes, Lord, I love you. Then God says, why do you do what you do? Jesus said, if you love me, open my life. And when I'm tempted to sin or go the wrong way, Holy Spirit, convict my heart and bring me back to that narrow path. The world is traveling to destruction. You want us to reach those people, but we can't do it if we're walking with them. So Lord, I'm asking that word fall upon every ear here this morning and those listening, that we will be united in love one for another and obeying you. I can cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, forgive me. And you are just and faithful to forgive. Call us together as a mighty church, a church in our community. That people, when they think of it, they will say, wow, I heard that God is in that church. People are getting delivered from drugs and pornography and booze and gossiping and wicked things. We rebuke and resist all of them. The trick of the devil, Heavenly Father, you let us know that he's not real. Then we're not going to resist him. But you told us, resist the devil and he'll flee from us. Hear smooth things. When we need encouragement, is all we need to do is go to the Word. When we need to see that what you desire. But Lord, we do need to be warned of all of the dangerous areas of life that will take us away from you. And there are many. And you continually warn the disciples and the people to beware, to take heed. You told us that it's up to us because we're free will. And you want us to do it out of love, Lord. So we stand here and say, Lord, with your the body of Christ at Crossfire Assembly, join together in unity and faith right now and say, Lord, we pray that your will be done in our lives. Go ahead, and everybody said, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at somebody, shake somebody's hand you don't know, and look at and talk.
Yep.